I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The vine and the branches, they're all connected together. They help each other. The vine provides for the branches. Just as in another place in the Bible, it talks about how we are all members of the body of Christ. And each member has a part to do in the body. Just like your hands have a part to do, your mouth, your ears, your eyes, each of those parts is important, just as we are all important in the body of Christ. Back right before World War II, there was a man named Dawson Trotman, who eventually was known to be the founder of a group called the Navigators. When he originally started, he didn't have this Navigators thing in his plan. He was simply teaching a young Navy man named Les Spencer about the Bible. This young man would come over to his place in the evenings and he would read the Bible. They would talk about it and he was teaching him God's Word. Eventually, one of Les Spencer's friends on the ship felt like he wanted to learn the word. So Les went to Dawson and asked him, would you also teach my friend? Dawson refused. He said, no, I am not going to teach him. You are going to teach him. If you cannot teach him what I have taught you, then I have failed. So Les began to teach his friend. And as they went back to the ship, more people got interested in what was going on. And eventually, all 125 men, sailors on this ship, learned the Word of God because they got interested by one another teaching the other. That is the whole concept behind the vine and the branches. We spread the gospel. We bear fruit. That whole thing caught on so well that as these sailors were transferred to different ships, they would start talking about the Word of God and it would spread on those ships. It got to be such a big thing that it created a stir with the FBI. Understand, this is right before World War II and they were worried about groups forming, about Nazism and all these different things. So the FBI started to investigate who started all this. And they finally, after quite some time, worked their way back down to Dawson Trotman. And they realized as they were investigating this that this was not a bad thing. This was a very good thing. And so because they realized that this has grown so big, the group got named the Navigators. They reach out to people. They reach out to military people, sailors. They help them learn the Word of God. And that is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be helping others learn the Word of God. We are supposed to be spreading the gospel. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it might produce more fruit. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Those are very strong words. And he wanted us to understand that we are, as branches of him, expected to bear fruit, which means bring others to God. And when he talks about pruning, he's not talking about causing damage to us. I know some people think, well, why is this happening to me? It's happening to you because God wants to make you stronger. We've been studying James in Bible study, and one of the first things, if you've ever read James, is consider it joy when you face trials. And he says that because he wants you to understand that if you are facing trials, God is pruning you. He is preparing you for other things. He is making you better. So if you are facing those trials, you know that you are on the right track, or God wouldn't be pruning you. So you should be joyful in that. I know some people think, why should I be happy about trials? That's why you should consider it joy when you face trials in your life. He is pruning you so that you might bear more fruit. We are called together as a church community, not just so we can get together on Sunday mornings and visit with one another. We are called together to do God's work. We are called together to learn more about the gospel and spread that gospel to others. And it's easy to spread that gospel. Smile at one another. Somebody on the street, if you see them and it looks like they're having a problem, help that person. If it's a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, and they seem a little down or depressed, talk to that person. Explain to them that things are okay, there is hope. Talk to them about the gospel. You may gain a friend, you may gain a new Christian friend through doing that. It tends to grow, just like the Navigator thing. It just grows. I'm sure y'all are familiar with the name Charles Schwab. Did you know, though, Charles Schwab has been an entrepreneurial type person since he was a young, very young man? When he was just a young boy, he would go around the neighborhood and collect walnuts. He'd put them in a sack and he'd take them back to this little place he was storing them. And when he had enough, he would sell them. Well, this seemed to be pretty successful, so he decided that he was going to start running a small chicken operation. So he got in the chicken coop and all the stuff that goes with it, and he started raising chickens. He was 12 years old. By the time he was 13, he had a dozen chickens. And he soon decided he was going to run a fully integrated chicken operation, which meant he was going to offer eggs and fryers and chicken fertilizer. So you can see from this little thing of collecting walnuts, it grew into a bigger and bigger thing. And now, as an older man, he started a very successful brokerage firm. The same thing can happen with us and Christianity. It starts small. And as it starts small, you can see potential for growth. You can see other things that you might do that would bring others to God. That is the whole concept behind the vine and the branches. Jesus feeds us, and we are to feed others. We are to bear fruit. We are to be a part of the body of Christ. Churches aren't meant to be just a place you come on Sunday morning and then go home. So many churches today, that's what a lot of people do. They come, they sit, they walk out the door, and if you were to meet them 30 minutes later, they couldn't tell you what the preacher was talking about. They just came because that felt like they should be here. Coming to church is more about learning the gospel. It's about fellowship. It's about finding ways to bring others to the community of Christ, to bear fruit. It is our responsibility. There's a Peanuts cartoon where Lucy is sitting in her little psychiatry booth. Y'all can envision that little nickel sign on the front of it. Charlie Brown is sitting there, and they're talking about his problems. And he says, "Sometimes I ask myself a question. Sometimes I ask myself, is this your real life, or is this just a pilot film? Is this my life a 39-week series, or is it something special?" Lucy immediately analyzes the problem and says, "Charlie Brown, whatever it is, your ratings are down. 5 cents, please." Poor Charlie Brown. He just doesn't seem to have a sense of what is happening in his life. Some of us are the same way. We don't see the things that are happening in our life. We don't see the good things. We don't see how we affect others. And we truly do affect others by how we are, by how we do things, by how we talk to people, by how we treat to people. How our life is affects others. Fruit bearing is directly proportional to our relationship to the vine, to Jesus. How we are in Christ is how we are to be fruitful. Donald Gray Barnhouse tells a story of a grapevine that is in Hampton Court near London. This grapevine is under glass. It's about 1,000 years old. They estimated it was 1,000 years old. It has a vine root that is 2 feet in diameter. It has some branches that are 200 feet long. But because it has been skillfully trimmed and pruned, that vine produces tons of grapes every year. And even though some of the smaller branches that are 200 feet from the main stem, they bear as much fruit because they're joined to the vine. These little branches are joined to bigger branches, are joined to bigger branches, and go back to the vine. Again, it starts at the vine. It starts small, and it expands. It grows. That's why he uses the analogy of the vine and the branches. He wants to explain to you that he is with us. He is nourishing us. He is providing you with the necessary tools that will help you bear fruit and bring others to Christ. And if you're ever in a situation where you wonder, what am I going to say to that person? Or what am I going to do to help that person? You don't have to worry about that. Because if you truly trust in Christ, you are attached to the vine, He will provide you with what to say. Or He will tell you what you can do to help that person. He is our nourishment to bear more fruit. There's a magazine called The Churchman. And in The Churchman, there was a cartoon shows this big church door, a young boy standing in front of it, and he says to the minister, "Is God home?" And I think that's a pretty relevant question for some of our churches today. Is God home? Churches are supposed to bear fruit in proportion to who they are, how many people there are, how their fellowship is, how their service is to the community. Some churches today, I wonder, and I know it's not me to judge, but you have to wonder sometimes, are they there because they want to hear the preacher, they want to learn more about the gospel, or are they there because it has a rock band and they want to hear the music? That's not being fruitful. I remember a story that went around here a few years ago. It's about a man who comes into the church in his street clothes. He goes up to the altar to pray, and the minister notices him there praying. The minister walks up to him, and after he gets done, he says, "Sir, you need to dress a little bit better the next time you come into God's house." A few days later, he comes back. He's still dressed in his street clothes. He goes up to the altar to pray, and the minister notices him. He says, "Sir, I thought I told you to dress better." Third time the man comes. The minister says, "Maybe you should ask God how you should dress to come into God's house." Well, the next time he comes, and he's still dressed in his street clothes, he goes up to the altar and kneels down to pray. And when he's done, the minister comes up to him and says, "Sir, I thought I told you to ask God how you should dress to come into God's house." The man looked the minister square in the eye and he says, "I did. And God looked at me and said, I don't know. I haven't been in that building for years. And I'm afraid that is the situation in so many churches today. Is God home?" We are to bear fruit. We are to expand God's kingdom. There are some situations where, and I know this has happened, where a minister is expected to stop at 12 o'clock. And I generally stop before 12 o'clock. Occasionally I've run over. But I have been told about situations where the minister was told, "If you don't stop at 12 o'clock, we're walking out that door anyway." That's not being a Christian. You should be there for God and for the sermon, because we hope, and I hope, and I pray all the time, that the words coming out of my mouth are not my words, but God's. That He's talking to you, not me. And I pray that that is the case. Blessed are those who hunger, for they shall receive righteousness. That's what you're here for. That's what we are to be here for. Sometimes we wonder, where is God when it hurts? Those trials that we were talking about. What is He doing? Why is He letting this happen? That's when we are to turn to God and we get stronger in our faith. That's where He is helping us to be better people. And I know sometimes you think to yourself, well, what about the drunk driver that crosses the median and really seriously hurts or kills somebody? Where is God in all that? And I have to tell you that sometimes life just happens. God has control over all things. We don't know what's going on in God's plan. Sometimes life happens. We have to understand that we are His. And He has that plan. And whatever happens, we should be okay with. I want to say joyful about, but I know sometimes it's a mournful thing. But we should be happy that things have happened like that. When somebody dies, we should be happy for them because they have found their kingdom. They are with God. Corrie Ten Boom, I'm sure most of you are familiar with, she survived the concentration camps. She tells a story about how God is good. So we prayed that it would not rain for a church picnic, and look, lovely weather. God is good when He sends good weather. But God is also good when He allowed my sister, Betsy, to starve to death before my eyes in a German concentration camp. She says, "I remember one occasion when I was very discouraged. Everything around us was dark, and there was darkness in my heart. And I remember telling Betsy that I thought God had forgotten us." "No, Corrie," said Betsy, "He has not forgotten us. Remember His word. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward us, toward those who fear Him. There is an ocean of God's love available. There is plenty for everyone. May God grant you never to doubt that victorious love, whatever the circumstances. And that's the way we are supposed to see life. No matter whatever the circumstances, God loves us. Sometimes that requires a great degree of faith from us. But ultimately, we are to spread God's word. He told that to the disciples. He tells that to us today. We are to grow branches. We are to bear fruit. We are to help others find God's kingdom. James Herriot wrote the book, All Creatures Great and Small. He's a rural veterinarian in Scotland. He was once visiting a friend in Beverly Hills, a very well-off friend in Beverly Hills. This man had a magnificent home, a swimming pool, all the things that go along with being wealthy and celebrity. But he kept telling James Herriot that in spite of his wealth, his many travels, and his high society experiences, somehow I've missed out. James Herriot looked at him and said, I've stayed put, but thank God I haven't missed out. They had different standards of life. James Herriot knew that his purpose in life was to be a humble rural veterinarian. He felt like that was noble in God's eyes. We all see things differently. Ultimately, God is the judge of whether we are bearing fruit or we are not bearing fruit. And Jesus talks about, if you're not bearing fruit, you will be gathered up and burned in the fire. And that is kind of a hint towards hellfire. We are to bear fruit. We are to help others. If they come to God's kingdom, great. If they don't, you know you've done a good thing by helping someone in need. There was a letter to Ann Landers a while back. It says, last December, a pal of mine killed himself. Another friend attempted suicide 3 times in the past 14 months. I tried to take my own life a few years ago. We all had promising futures and financial security, but we lacked one thing, the ability to relate to others. I stopped wanting to kill myself when I realized my death would make a difference, that somebody really cared. He goes on to say, if people want to help, they can. Here are a few things everyone can do. Smile more, even to people you do not know. Touch people. Look them in the eye. Let them know you are aware they exist. Be concerned about those you work with. Listen when they speak to you. Spend an extra minute or two. If someone has a problem, just listening means more than you'll know. To those who are in depression, say this: everybody has highs and lows. Nobody is on top of the world all the time. You'll crawl back up again if you give yourself a chance. Tomorrow will be better. He says you could save a life without realizing it by letting a depressed person know somebody cares. And he signed it, I care. Age 27. It's terrible that young adults today face such depressing times that they feel like they have to take their life. And sometimes all it would have taken was somebody to show they cared, somebody to express love to that person. Let them know that it's going to be okay. I'm here for you. I will be there for you. I will help you and care for you. Just let me know what I can do. People want to be cared about. That's what bearing fruit is all about. It's about compassion and kindness. It's about spreading God's word. We need to help people understand not to lose heart when times are difficult. We need to help people understand there is hope in hard times. and that those things are simply a matter of God helping us be better people. He prunes the branches to make us better people. A word of kindness, a deed of compassion, may be judged to be the best fruit of all. And that is our duty as Christians. Amen.